Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
So what do? They kept Godwin the Golden because he's the golden boy. And they take Morgott and Moog and they throw them underground.
Right.
I mean, I wouldn't have ever counseled going to a Dark Souls game for parenting advice, but man, they're just like on the money sometimes. Yeah.
Hello, Tarnished Ones. Welcome to another episode of The Lore Boys. My name is James Miller, the only one who's played Elden Ring so far, and I'm joined here with...
Sorry, I'm still polishing over here, boss. I'm Ethan.
And?
Pete, something about the maidenless meme. I don't know yet. I haven't played it either.
No maidens? Jamie, are we going to get maidens this episode?
We are not going to get maidens, but we'll lead you We'll give you all the tools you need to get your own maiden, I think.
Okay,
we'll
cool.
Do. Yeah.
Okay. No. Yeah. Use your maiden. Yeah, you got to think, so you got to use your maiden head, right?
That's what that means?
Yeah.
Is this the, what's the book? The game? Is like how to like hypnotize women into sleeping with you at a club or something? Is that what Elden Ring is about?
So many of those things are so creepy. Yeah, you got to neg your, whatever, golden order in order to get a maiden. Yeah. I don't know what you got to do. But, so I played like 35, 40 hours of Elden Ring so far. I feel like I'm maybe halfway done, so forgive me if I don't know the in-game details about some of the later on stuff in the game. But that said, I don't want to spoil it anyway, so we're going to try and like keep it on the side of creation myth and demigods and stuff like that. But what do you guys know? What do you know? What do you say?
I mean, yeah, the convenient thing for you is like I know so little that I wouldn't even know what to ask as like a gotcha. You know what I mean? For like who's this person in the game? Because I've seen one boss, and I haven't seen him beaten. I've just seen one guy playing one boss for like 20 minutes.
Okay.
That's the extent of my Elden Ring. And the memes. I've seen plenty of memes.
Of course. Yeah.
I've watched Distortion 2's Any% speedruns, so I've seen 27 minutes of the game where he just like breaks everybody's AI and runs directly to the last boss. Very impressive. I love his channel, but those Any% runs are fucking terrible. It is just running around in circles gathering shit, and then somehow you like... die in a certain location and warp directly to the end of the game. The second to last boss AI doesn't turn on, so you just walk past him to the credits. It's just like, cool.
It's pretty incredible that it's not that he just figured that out. He figured that out. He had an hour speedrun like the day after the game came out, and it was down to 27 minutes in the first week. Like, it's crazy how fast they broke that game.
And then I also watched like D-Mod Chrissy. He did a boss ranking, so I've seen... Yeah. All the bosses as well. Otherwise,
And you would know if somebody pasted, for example, a picture of a boss that wasn't actually the boss. You would know, right? You'd be able to call you out on it, Pete.
Pete was calling me out in the beginning before the show. He's like, "No, that's wrong. That's not the thing. That name doesn't match up." And I'm like, "Well, if you watch the speed run, it's like one thing. You would have saw something, but we're doing the creation myth, so it's not wrong."
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I saw the name and the picture of the boss, and I was like, "That's not what it said on the health bar in the 11 minute video I watched by some guy." Like I said, I was just like, I'm afraid of some fandoms that I'm not a part of. I'm afraid of this one here. It's the real enemies are on the inside, and that's the Souls people. But like we were saying before the show, Vaadi Vidya's shit's not out yet, so like we're on the cutting edge. We're on the bleeding edge, baby.
Yeah.
There we go.
The Ashen Hollow is a YouTube channel, by the way, if you guys are into this lore.
Yeah, he's great. Yeah.
Like the day before I started writing this, just finally put together his masterpiece that puts a through line of like everything in the game. So he did some of the stuff that I'm going to be talking about today is based off of his findings, and he quotes all the little items that he found and everything that have the little pieces of lore. It's pretty amazing.
Can you imagine? I mean, I know, like, this isn't our job, and maybe one day it'll pick up, and it's just going to be one of our main sources of income, but can you imagine? It's just like, can't wait to sit down with this new game, and then for my YouTube channel, read the two sentences that George R.R. Martin wrote on every single thing I interact with.
Yeah. It's pretty insane, like, the flavor text, they pick up, like, five words, and then connect it to, like, another item that you find, like, a day later in gameplay or something. And
yeah.
It's wild. But people did it, and I'm happy to take their hard work and present it as our own. So
yeah.
Middle management, baby. Speaking of which, at work today, I got some, like, whatever, some effects from one shot to a different department. And he was like, oh, thank you so much, Pete. And I was like, I didn't fucking do this. I'm not the artist on the show. I just told you when it was done.
Yeah. Now, you always take credit for those.
I told him to do it, and then he did. And then I told you he did it.
Yeah.
Well, it kind of sounds like you did it as a fellow middle manager.
True.
Wouldn't have got done without you, right?
So, you're essential. I didn't just take the Ashen Hollow, so it's not like I'm just vomiting what he said onto a page. He was one of the bigger influences that I had just in finding the through line, but I probably watched like 30 different videos and read the wiki for just about every entry that I could. So we got a wealth of knowledge here, so we're ready to jump in, I think.
Good. It'll make up for me and Pete then.
Yeah. No, nothing.
My dog's decided to chew a bone, so if that becomes too loud, let me know.
If you don't like the sound of in the background, then make sure to join the Discord and let us know.
Yep. So the setting for this game is called The Lands Between. So what do we know about The Lands Between so far?
It's what I call my butthole.
Yeah. Wouldn't it?
The lands between them cheeks.
It would be, yeah. I was going to say, would it not be the Grundle? But you're absolutely right, yeah. The first area in Dark Souls 2 is called the Things Betwixt, which is what I call my Grundle, personally.
Okay. Oh.
So.
And ne'er shall the two meet.
Yeah.
Don't put ne'er on your Grundle. I've tried it.
Get Vicks Vapor. Like, I think it's from a movie. Some guy gets a Vicks Vapor rub on his balls. Or something like that.
Zach and Mary make a porno.
Icy Hot.
Ah, yes. I love that movie. Yeah. I like the in the Souls writing, it's just like, just take a thing that we wrote in 2009 and change some of the words slightly. So the Things Betwixt is now the Lands Between, and like Blood and Soul is now runes and shit. It's like, yeah, okay. Job done, boys.
You're not wrong for like the blood and souls and fire becomes grace and all this, but this The Lands Between is actually came from George R. R. Martin. And I don't know if he would have played the first two or three.
Doubt it. The man is like 75 years old. He's not beaten Dark Souls 1 and 2.
He is far too busy not writing a book.
He's far too busy waiting to die so he can get out of his contractual obligation to write The Winds of Winter.
Exactly.
He's played the first three checkpoints of every Dark Souls game, but we'll never finish one. So Hidetaka Miyazaki confirmed in an interview with IGN that George R. R. Martin invented the name for The Lands Between.
Miyazaki, just the English version of Midgard. He did not invent that at all.
Miyazaki kind of pumped his tires up in this. Like, he's like, it invokes feelings that are very mysterious and very ethereal. And it lends to the deep, deep, deep lore of my game. And like stuff like that. He's very... he's selling a game, right?
Sorry.
You're gonna spring for the guy who wrote Game of Thrones. Like you're gonna market him. Yeah. you're gonna talk that guy up.
Yeah. Well, I like making fun of George R. R. Martin all the time just because his work's not done and he's got like 5 years left on this earth.
His work's not done. Unlike us, right, Pete?
Yeah,
I
know exactly. I'm like you and I are totally done our projects, but at least like I'm not overweight and 75. So.
Yeah. Pete's been like plugging Squarespace for 3 years on the podcast, still doesn't have anything published.
Squared Idea.
Squared Idea. Yeah. Sorry.
Yeah. No, we do not talk about the S space here. Okay, not until they pay us. Not until they give us our
exactly. Put that in.
Very true. Very true. So if I had to describe the landscapes, you guys can like click on the first image if you'd like. It's like the giant golden tree scattered throughout the world called Erd trees. Pretty much.
Which if we're going to compare this to Midgard, that's Yggdrasil, right?
It is Yggdrasil. Oh, yeah, it is. It's Secret of Mana tree. It's Dragon Quest tree. It's every like big tree equals good, powerful god
thing. I mean, it's also just the arch trees from Dark Souls that like held the world up before the fire showed up too.
Yep. It's very much Yggdrasil and those things, yes.
Yeah.
They're really pretty though. Like no matter where you are, you can see like golden branches going through the sky, and then at like nighttime, all the stars through the golden branches. It's a nice place to
hang. It is very pretty. Yeah. It is very pretty.
Each zone's biome is like a little bit different. You start like a grassy forest area. There's swamplands. There's like dry red desert areas with lots of. There's other places with lots of cliffs. There's like underground dungeons to explore. Underground cities. There's forts. There's honestly, it's a huge world, and I've spent like 40 hours in it, and there's still more that I haven't seen. So I feel like there's a lot to. The open world it could be kind of polarizing. I feel like it lends to the genre, but other people might not agree. I like it. I like getting lost.
Yeah, I think we talked about this on some other thing that it's kind of the thing that makes me hesitant is the open world itself. Also, this game was announced in 2019, and I guess because of COVID and all that other shit, it does feel like people have been talking about this game for decades. But it's like 2.5 years.
It snuck up on me somehow. I was like, I forgot about Elden Ring, and then I was like, oh, it's out next month. Cool.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm just like, I can picture a trailer to some game that was supposed to come out, and it's not Elden Ring, but it, like, my brain has like the synapses in my brain have formed like a link between that random trailer of a Souls-like game and Elden Ring, and I was just like, yeah, okay, it was like planned to be released for like a long ass time, and then wasn't. But I don't. The only person I heard about Elden Ring from was Fragile Shark in the Discord, who was just like the, you know, beating the drum for Elden Ring coming out, and that was like my countdown basically to it. It
released. Yeah, it's been so good. Like it has got me off MMOs. Like I don't play MMOs anymore, which is kind of crazy.
Cool.
It's methadone.
Yeah, it might be.
Jamie's
at
the Betty Ford Clinic playing Elden Ring.
I was playing Lost Ark, and then I was like, oh, I really just want to explore the world in Elden Ring. I don't want to do my chores. Like, that's... And it's the first time in a while where I felt that way. So it's a really good game. I'm playing, like, a magic build, which is very viable for the first time in, like... Like, I think in Dark Souls, it was good early game, bad late game, or vice versa. Like, they keep getting the balancing wrong, but they finally got it right for Elden Ring for spellcasting.
Dark Souls 1, which I played last week... Spells had ammo, and you could only recharge them by wrestling in a bonfire, which resets all the enemies and shit. Dark Souls 2 added a consumable that recharged your spell ammo, but sometimes you'd have to equip the spell multiple times to up the ammo count, like basically two clips.
Right.
And then Dark Souls 3, in its infinite wisdom, 7 years after Demon's Souls, just added a mana bar, so then you could just, so you just had a mana potion, and so you could actually like do a viable build. Like, I love the Battle Mage and or spell sword build in Dark Souls 3. It is my favorite Dark Souls at time of writing because you can do a build like intelligence and dex to be a very fast kind of sorcerer, which I think is what you're going for in Elden Ring.
Yeah, it feels
that
so
shit
strong.
Looks way too fucking busted.
Look, I'll
in
summon...
Elden Ring, so I want to do faith.
Yeah, I'll summon three giant rocks, move in for like a couple sword swipes. The rocks will come down, then I can summon a sword that's like three times the length of my body and slash it across. And like hot swapping between weapons, between spells, and like I even put a little bit of faith now, so I can like put on like this, like basically hold these beads at one point and take any poison effects or like off of me and. I don't know. I feel really versatile and strong, and it feels very, very fun.
But I'm going to do faith and strength when I finally play Elden Ring, because I have, like, Joan of Arc is my favorite character I ever made in Dark Souls 3, where she's faith and strength, and, like, the lightning and the poise stuff in that game is just so fucking good. So I'm just like, everybody's doing Int because it's broken and very cool. I'm like, no, I'm gonna go against the grain in June 2022, of course, whenever I do next play.
I think for a new, you can, they made it pretty easy to respec now, too. Like, it's not, like, after you beat a certain boss, you can basically just get an item and go and respec. And I think for a new game,
they did the
same
thing in Dark Souls 3. There was, like, the slug lady. You just brought her tongues, and she would reset your stats.
Yeah, I think for new game plus, I'm just going to go hard strength. Like, get a big old hammer and see how far I can go
That's my build. I was like, always just, like, enough dex to, like, have stamina.
Yeah.
And then just, like, max strength, and I'll just be naked guy with big hammer, or naked guy with big dragon's tooth, whatever, and I'm just rolling around smacking people once, and then rolling around a bunch.
Yeah.
Ethan used to spec enough dex to still be able to tie his fucking shoes.
Yeah.
that's it. Yeah. Some of the weapons look so fucking cool, too. I really want to try them, and
just enough dex to tie my shoes, just enough ints to count by twos, just enough faith to zip zippers and buttons. And...
Right. Turtle knight.
No, turtles are called dogs in this game. Every time there's a turtle, people just leave a note that says dog in front of it.
Okay, and... good to know.
All right.
Yeah. So Franklin would
like
be a dog.
Avatar situation where it's like a turtle dog or something like that?
No, they're just turtles, but everybody calls them dogs in the notes. And
The community can like make writing decisions for you. Like in Doom Eternal, it is never actually spoken aloud, but the fandom and the Doom Eternal wiki says, like, no, the dragon he rides, its name is Baba Booey. It's just no one has ever come out to correct that.
There'll be like a giant dragon corpse and like it's dead or whatever, and you go by the where the butt is, and there'll be a note that'll say like try rump. Or dive in here, stuff like that. Yeah.
Try finger, butthole.
Exactly.
Classic.
The classic.
That's the one that, it's everywhere. Or like, there'll be like cannon holes in the wall, and they'll be like, wow, big butthole. It's like, cool. Like, very good. All right. So like I said, if the landscapes, there's giant golden trees. You can see one almost no matter where you are. There's a bunch of different biomes. It's a huge, huge world. But you join the game after the world's been through a lot of turmoil. Like the first city that you see, like I said, there are those giant buttholes in the wall because of the cannons. And it hasn't always been so bad, but I want to dive into the unplayable beginning of Elden Ring. Pieced together from short voice lines, cutscenes, and small words from item descriptions.
And George R. R. Martin.
Yes. If you're listening to this a year from now, the theories might have shifted and changed. But as of like almost a month after release, I think we're like 3 weeks out or something like that. This is what people believe right now.
It's like COVID.
Yeah. Well, they won't just give us normal lore. Like, so
We're still in the washing our groceries stage of Elden Ring lore.
Well, actually, if you asked me that, I think actually the Erd trees were created by this character, but things could change.
Yeah. So back in the ancient times of the lands between, when you had to wash your cans of corn with dish soap before consuming them.
Yeah. When I was washing my Perrier bottles and accidentally breaking my sink.
Yes. Real story. Before the demigods were born, before the Erd trees were planted, and before the land found a time of peace. Because the time that you joined, there's strife. But before then, there was peace. And then before then, there was strife. And we're going to go back to the first strife.
Yeah. Okay, wait. It was strife, then peace, then strife.
Yeah. And we're going back from the first, the last strife to the first strife. We're going back before the peace.
We're skipping peace?
We never get to feel the peace. The peace is already, is talked about, but it's after the creation myth, there's peace, and then there's the shattering, and then we join the game.
Okay.
Yeah.
We're going to the lands between, not the peace between.
Yeah. Before the shattering, before the peace. Back before there were gods to sort out this crazy old world. So there's a mysterious god. There's a ton of gods in this world, right? Or in this, like, universe. But we're going to focus on one to start out with. And it's called the Greater Will.
Whose will? Sorry, that's a Jamie joke that he loves to throw at us.
Yeah, we need rocks at the quarry. Who's Corey?
Classic.
And you say it enough times when people say quarry, the first time's funny, the second time no one laughs, the third time you get like a sigh, the fourth time becomes funny again.
We did this in Deep Rock a couple weeks ago, didn't
Deep
we?
Rock,
it was, Tribes of Midgard.
Tribes of Midgard.
Oh, right, yeah, there you go. Yeah.
I did it in Midgard too, though. Yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah, the Greater Will, what do we know about it? Not much. It seems to be formless. We know that, like, there's more, it can influence more at certain times and less at other times. So how does the Greater Will interact with the Lands Between? It sends a golden star hurtling down.
Cool.
Yep.
Many a Mario game has started like this, I believe.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
We're still in the realm of possibility that this is either a Mario game or a Kirby game that we're talking about.
Could be.
Canonically.
Could be. So this star that hit the Earth contained the Elden Ring.
Eponymous.
Yep,
Elden Ring.
I think I posted a picture of what the Elden Ring actually looks like, if you're curious. It looks more like a Venn diagram than an actual ring.
Yeah, it's a three-circled Venn diagram. With like a line going straight down the middle.
Yeah.
It's the box art for the game.
Exactly. I was just about to say exactly that. Yeah.
The what for the game?
The box art.
It's
the cover art for the game.
It's the loading screen. It's the title splash page. The box art. It's the Elden Ring, baby.
Well, in Dark Souls, they've got the dark sign is kind of everywhere. It's that burning eclipsed sun sort of thing.
So this star hits the Earth. And, like, it's kind of vague on, like, does the star land and this is what causes the first tree to blossom? But all we know is Elden Ring coming to Earth is what helped to make the first Erd tree grow.
Okay. Yeah. Whether Elden Ring is a seed or Elden Ring is fertilizer, we don't know. But
golden
we do
seeds
know it
exist in the game, and they're used. You get them from, like, saplings of Erd trees. And you can use those to have more flasks, Estus flasks or mana flasks.
Okay.
So fertilizer it is then, yeah.
It seems, it seems like they have their own seeds, but yeah. Maybe
okay.
The first...
Elden Ring is poopy. But you...
Yes.
Gotcha.
Can agree. Yeah. So as the first Erd tree grows, the power of grace also starts to build within the Lands Between.
Oh my god, we're starting with Will and Grace?
Oh yeah, it is.
I never noticed.
George R. R. Martin's just like looking, like sitting there trying to think up an origin story, and he's just got like a fucking bookshelf with DVDs from 2001. Just like, all right, I think I got something.
Oh my god, I'm gonna be playing that through a different lens tonight. So yeah, the power of grace starts to build. And you can start to see it's like the beginning of the Age of Grace, kind of like the Age of Fire in the other games. It really serves a lot of the same purpose. Like grace is what powers all the checkpoints. So your bonfires are just like these little like floating light thingies.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, you resurrect at them, right? It's like if you get killed, you come back to it.
Yeah, you can sit at them, prep your spells, just get your health back, recharge your flasks. And each checkpoint also, like, when you find one, it'll have a little trail, like an arc pointing towards where the next one probably is or where you should be heading.
Cool.
Which kind of helps with the open world side of things, because it's not always obvious where you should be heading. Yeah.
And is that, like, based on where you are in, like, the story? Or is that just, like, it always points to the, like, this bonfire or this grace point always points to the next grace point?
In my experience, since there's, like, six main, like, not continents, but like areas. Depending on what area you're in, every area has its own like unique track.
Okay.
Yeah. So like like if you're in Caelid, it's not going to point to Limgrave. Limgraves are kind of like self-contained, and then Caelids are self-contained, and so on. Yeah. And another thing too, if you're walking past one, sometimes they're kind of like hidden behind bushes and stuff like that. You'll also see like that area kind of glowing too, just so you don't like barrel past all of them. It'll kind of help you see where they are and stuff.
Yeah, there was like an audio cue that you could use in older games made by the same team. Like there was like this little sing that would emanate from it, so it would get louder as you got close to it.
Yep. So it powers the checkpoints. There's like, if you go to the main hub of the world, there's like a big like chunk of grace there. This grace is just like comes from the Urd trees, and it's power from the greater will.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. It's mana.
Pretty much.
Not like, not video game mana, but like biblical mana.
Exactly. Yeah. And with help from the greater will, a lady named Queen Marika would rise to become the ruler of the lands between. And she'd be the vessel of the Elden Ring. So you can take that picture if you want. She's the leader of the Golden Order, and wants to follow the greater will.
Pretty golden. She's like a crucified woman. Not crucified on anything, but her arms are splayed out to the side as though she was. She got very golden hair with what looks like a golden crown, a golden necklace, two golden torques, and two golden bracelets.
Pretty golden order, huh?
Yeah. On a blue background.
Or is this top down and she's like dancing? Because you can kind of see her dress as if you're looking down from above.
Just her hair's kind of falling straight down.
There's lots of statues of her where she is like in the crucified position too. Yeah. Or she's just T-posing, flexing on him, who knows?
Yeah, exactly.
Queen Marika always memeing, T-posing on an Ark of the Ring, basically. Just like,
yeah, like Jesus, the original T-poser, right?
Yeah.
So she's the chosen one. The greater will's like, she's going to hold on to the vessel. I forgot what the name of it. It's like a Euphrodite or Eurodite or a... Fuck, what? Let me look it up. But basically what it means is
this a real word?
Yeah, that's what I'm wondering. Or is this like an Elden Ring word? Yeah.
I think it's an Elden Ring word. Empyrean. It's a race.
Oh, Empyrean.
Empyrean.
Yeah.
Empyrean?
Yeah.
Empyrean. And all that means is that she's born of a single god, not two gods.
The Empyrean is where God lives in the Old Testament. We talked about that in our Dante's Inferno or Dante's Paradiso episode. Empyrean is like the realm of pure light that God exists within.
Right.
One singular God, of course.
It's
pure
light, and it's adapted from the ancient Greek empyros, meaning in or on the fire. So it comes from a place of like pure fire, essentially.
Okay.
Or fire making light, you know.
Right. And it's a type of being found inhabiting the world of the lands between in this world. And it means, it's not completely understood, but it means it's born from a single god rather than two gods.
Okay.
And that's what it just means in this context. But so she's
Christian,
like...
Christian, not pagan. Hence the crucifixion.
She's pure as fuck, boy. With the help of the greater will, she rises to become the ruler of the lands between, but not without a little bit of conflict first. All the Elden Ring creatures and people are fighting each other. It's complete chaos. Like, if you see the opening cutscene of the game, there's like kind of this like red shaded cutscene of all these people marching, like also like lumbering giants above, like storming a giant city. There's a lot of war back then, and she was kind of fighting back against a lot of that stuff. But
okay.
She couldn't do it herself, though. So she took a consort to help spread the influence of the Golden Order. And his name was Godfrey. And he's the next picture that I showed you guys.
And I mean, the next picture, he also has an extra title in the picture that you sent us.
Yeah, which is like going to be the next sentence. But he, yeah, he's going to be the
Elder. Setting you up.
Yeah. Okay.
Well,
I'm so used to people tearing me down. You were saying Godfrey would eventually become America's husband and gain the title Elden Lore. So
Godfrey is wearing like very decorated armor. Like it's very like embossed and fancy looking, gold and blue. So very royal colors. He's got a white lion with like a dragon's hand clutching his shoulder just above and behind him, essentially.
That's, what's the name of that? Oh, we're going to come back to that line. Hold on to that line. He has a line on his back. Very important. We're going to say its name soon.
Yeah, okay. it's like Hercules's cloak with the lion thing, except it's clearly still alive or something. It's holding on to him and it's pointing in the same direction as him.
Yeah. So, like, let's back to gameplay for a second here outside of lore. There's summons called Ashes of War that's like a new mechanic in Elden Ring, as far as I know, which is basically summons. You get Ashes of War. Like, if you find, like, a beetle behind a rock and you kill that, it might give you Ash of War. Or if you kill a certain boss, it might give you an Ash of War, which, like, means summon four skeletons with bows, or summon a lion, or summon a wolf. And I think...
Classic Dark Souls design. Best summon in the game is just like, yeah, that beetle that you think is part of the environment, you kill it, and you get a spell.
Yeah, I think that's why he has a big old lion on his back, is they're trying to, like, put into the lore the summoning ashes or whatever, because it's such it's a core mechanic of the game now, so why not make it a part of the lore with everything else?
Right. Why not explain this core mechanic via story and setting, you know?
Yep.
Yeah, FromSoft really learning.
by making a very cool buff man with a very cool dragon. Dragon's also wearing like a tiara or like a thin like headband crown. So it's very cool.
Yeah. So they gave Godfrey and Merica both beasts on their back / shadows to canonize this new game mechanic, is my guess. Nobody else told me that in any of the videos I watched, but prove me wrong.
Lore, voice, canon, also. Also, if it's not explained in game yet, fuck off.
Yeah.
So
we're inviting a world of hurt from the fanboys, by the way. This is fate right now. I can hear the actually.
Godfrey has the Lord of Beasts, Sarosh, on his back. And the reason why he partnered up with Sarosh is because Godfrey himself had too much lust for blood and war, and this beast tempers that for some reason. Like, the beast is more thoughtful and slow to anger than he is, so the beast balances him.
Oh, the albino lion is more reasonable? Sorry.
Yeah.
Sir. Yeah. We only kill the previous male's children, not everybody in the pride. It's like...
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, it's a support animal, so he could take it on a plane.
Yeah. Exactly. They'll talk him off a ledge. Although, if it's a dragon, does he need a plane?
Yeah.
It's very like the Futurama, the spooky door. Like, who's the greatest monster of all? It turns out it was man.
No. Right? Yeah.
So yeah, Godfrey has his big old lion, and together they're like pretty much the biggest war force in the Lands Between. And he's pretty intense, dude. This guy can just like kill armies by himself. He's awesome.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So also, what's her name? Marika, the queen and the holder of the vessel of the Elden Ring. She doesn't have a beast on her back, but she has a shadow. It's said that all Empyreans have wolves in their shadows. So that's their Ashes of War, I guess. And she has Malekith, which is the next photo, which is a really cool looking, if someone wants to explain.
Oh, yeah. I don't even know where to start. He's fuzzy. It looks like a werewolf, I guess, like a werewolf in like full black plate armor with just a berserk, guts from berserk sword with him. That's like shining red and yellow.
Yeah, this one, I'm not even sure if you meet him in game, but he's part of the lore.
I've seen this one in some of the trailers. I think it's either an NPC or an enemy.
Yeah, you meet another wolf type man that helps you start like Radahn, like get to know Radahn and stuff, who is named Blade, BLAID. I'm surprised I remembered that because it didn't have it written down at all. But anyways, yeah, I'm not sure you meet this one specifically, but in the trailers, I think this is where the picture comes from.
Yeah, because I recognize the he's kind of bloodied up, so maybe he was in a fight, because I know the blood like cakes on everything in these games. But like in the trailer, you do see he's in like black armor with gold trim and like a gigantic fucking sword.
Yeah, he's super fucking cool. And he lives in the shadow of the person who embodies the most powerful object in the realm right now. So he's
very cool.
He is Peter Pan's shadow, essentially, right? Because Peter Pan, most powerful being in Neverland. And, detached figure that works in his shadow.
Yeah.
Yes. Malekith, all you need to do is believe, yes.
Yeah. Can't wait till we meet Tinkerbell in the lore.
Tinkerbell in Dark Souls has, like, 15 arms sewn onto her or some shit. Something horrible.
So this part gets a little bit cloudy for me, so feel free to join the Discord and let me know if I'm right or wrong. But Malekith keeps, they find, so how do I say this? Marika wanted to get rid of death for her because she's like, I want to live forever. The Golden Order has to prevail. So how do we do that? And Malekith somehow found what they call destined death, and he encased it within his flaming blade to prevent Marika from ever needing to die.
Cool.
Okay. Very cool.
I want to know what Miyazaki, because Miyazaki obviously is very, like, doesn't trust institutions because they're always the villains in all the Souls games, right? It's like royalty, or like in Bloodborne, it's like the university that, like, found the, like, whatever, like the want and ambition of science or whatever. Yeah. But in this one here, it's the Elden, and I don't mean to do this like constantly as like, oh, it's the same thing. It's still fucking awesome. But it's the same motivation as Gwyn in Dark Souls, who like constantly relighting the killing of the first flame, basically, to like, well, I mean, like, I'm in charge and I can't fucking die, so I will drain the life out of the world if it kills me, sort of thing.
Yeah. If it kills you.
Yeah.
And you know, it's the cool, her name, Marika, it could be America with a little apostrophe before it. America.
America.
America. Yeah. Get rid of death.
Yeah.
Church America. Yeah.
Yeah.
Elden Lord Godfrey is very British sounding, though, and I don't think America and England, I mean, they had a messy divorce, right?
Right. Yeah.
So there's also something that comes up later called the Rune of Death, which is somehow tied in together with the runes in the Elden Ring that I don't fully understand yet, but if I do another episode, maybe it'll be better understood by the time I get there. My theory is the Rune of Death that gets stolen later, which we're going to talk about, was stolen from this guy's sword, which left Marika able to die along with all of her children, which is why it's such a big deal that the Rune of Death got stolen. But we'll get to that.
Who would rob that guy? Jesus.
Yeah, I know. Right?
Bold.
Well, he's like a wolf. You just toss out like a big, like you've got that one weapon that's just a bunch of sausage links,
and that's
that's how you make the fight easier.
That link gun that shoots like linked sausages.
Yeah, you kill the beetle in the swamp that's carrying the sausage links, and you wouldn't know unless you did it.
Right,
and you could use that item to distract Malekith and steal the rune from his sword. Obviously,
someone just threw some sausage links into my apartment, so I think it's a perfect time to take a little break.
Yummy.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, to get 30, to get 20, 20, 20, to get 20, 20, to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Oh,
I gotta pee.
Oh, sorry.
Just kidding.
I'm just finishing my sausages. If you want to take another break, we can take another break.
No, I'm good. I'm a vegetarian, so I've been having carrot links. I'm good to start.
Salted carrots hanging in like the vegan butcher window. Yeah. Like up the hook.
It's just like plastic wrap instead of like the meat case.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, you could do that, like, translucent, like, the rice paper that you can get on, like, a longer, on certain kind of sushi rolls, right?
I have some of that. It's good, yeah.
It is good, yeah.
Yeah, there is vegetarian sausage out there that is, like, has a casing.
I've had it. Had the breakfast sausage once, just to see what it was like. I liked it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's okay.
Yeah. Well, so we've kind of talked about the Elden Ring landing. Queen Marika and her boy toy, I wanted to say Grayson for a second. No, Godfrey.
Did it like land in her backyard, or was she like summoned to it or something? Is it like a Men in Black scenario?
When it comes to Elden Ring, they will never tell you anything that specific. All it says is she rose to be the vessel.
What's her address, dude? Come on, George. What the fuck?
Yeah.
It landed, a tree grew, and she became the vessel. In what order, and the details on how that happened, completely up to us.
Good enough.
All right. Yeah. But, so Marika, she's like, okay, cool. I got my, I can't die because the wolf in my shadow has a rune in its sword. But let's make some backup plans, too. So, hey, Godfrey, you want to have some babies?
My dog's got a knife, so I'm good.
Yeah. So Godfrey and Marika, Marika, I always want to say now.
Marika.
Yeah.
I mean, just looking at the spelling, I would have said Marika. But
Marika?
I don't know if that's just.
All the videos said Marika.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
They're probably made by what nationals? Wait, the people who made these videos, what country did they come from? I'm curious. I'm just curious.
I'm not sure. I can't tell.
I think the Ashton Hollow's got an accent. Isn't he British or something?
I have no idea.
Or perhaps any of these videos. A Welshman?
God forbid.
So they start off with three kids and just pump them out. They got Godwin the Golden. I guess named after his father, Godfrey. He's Godwin the Golden.
Do we have... No, we don't.
No, because the only time you will ever meet Godwin the Golden, he'll be dead.
Okay.
But, and then the next two children that were born, Graceless. So they were, I don't know what kinky stuff they did when they're having those kids, but they were twins and they were born Graceless. They had horns, Morgott and Mog, M-O-H-G.
Oh my God. You call them like Godwin, and then you have like two ugly babies and you're like, no. Those are devoid of grace. Call them, I don't know, Ugg and Bug or something.
Mog, I've done like some weird like blood god quests where I had to like kill people from, you had to do PvP, then go find a maiden's blood and basically take her bloody rag back to someone, and then they break your finger. And they're like, okay, you know what? You brought the maiden's blood. We busted your finger right in front of you, made it all bloody. You can go have counsel with Mog now. And I haven't met him yet, but he sounds cool as hell.
Oh, yeah. Sounds totally chill.
Yeah.
Not that very normal ritual to do.
Right. Yeah. So if you're looking for like that's a way to like quickly get to a zone where you can farm a lot of runes, is to do Mog's quest that starts in the Rose Church. So
Mog's Quest does sound like a JRPG, I will say.
Yeah, it does.
From like the 90s. Yeah.
Go to Lando Lakes, find a Rose Church, start that quest line, do it, and you can get it's something like a crazy amount of runes. Like
go to Land of Lakes, yeah, the butter girl's gonna break your finger.
I thought this was a bit.
No, it is a bit. It's like Lernia Land of Lakes or something. It's close to Land of Lakes. So I just
The butter. Is it the butter swamp? Because Miyazaki always has to put a goddamn butter swamp in his games.
So what do? They kept Godwin the Golden because he's the golden boy, and they take Morgott and Moog and they throw them underground.
Right.
I mean, I wouldn't have ever counseled going to a Dark Souls game for parenting advice, but man, they're just like on the money sometimes. Eh? Yeah.
What was it in Bloodborne? They like kicked the girl out because they thought she was gay because she was born during the full moon or something.
That's in Dark Souls. It's not because he thought he was gay. Gwyndolin is one of. What's his name? One of Gwyn's sons, and he was born during the full moon. He's like, you're going to be a girl. And he was like, what? That's basically it, yeah.
Crazy.
Because a full moon for girls.
Right. There's not great parents in the Dark Souls world. That's right.
No.
So there's also another kid, too, Godrick the Grafted, who... the picture's there, but we're not going to get to him yet. You can... Feel free to hold on to it for now. You can look. I don't care. But
I already looked. As soon as you said the picture's there, I clicked it.
Yeah,
he's one of the earlier like trailer bosses that I saw. I think I watched stuff from like E3. Yeah, he is.
If you're playing with any type of focus, you'll meet him in the first few hours of game.
Yeah. Should I describe him or?
We could. Yeah, we're gonna get. I think for these, we're gonna get to them at the end, and we're gonna go through every demigod that you meet. So just know that he exists, Godrick the Grafted, for now. Some say that he's a child of Godfrey and Merica, but some say he's Godwin the Golden's child, so he's like a grandson of Godfrey. Okay. It's really depends on the video you check at this point. No one really knows for sure.
Okay.
Yeah. And there's another Godwin, or there's another The Grafted that's like God something, like God born the Grafted. I forget that you meet in like a single fight that you don't get to know at all. So there's a lot of like God children out there.
The tutorial boss is the Grafted Scion. I know
that's
that.
Right, and it's one of his playthings, Godric the Grafted's playthings.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. Yeah.
Okay.
Gonna say that Godric is probably a fucked up guy, locking him in the basement. Thumbs down from me, because opposed to plucking the wings off of insects, which is a red flag, he seems to be adding additional limbs to people.
he's like the most pathetic guy we'll talk about today, and there's a lot of reasons why, and we're going to talk about all of them. He's not even like despicable in a cool way. He's just like pathetic. He's the worst.
He's on Twitter asking what his ex-wife is doing, basically.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, he's simping for Pokimane all the time, you know?
Yeah. So I'm about to get to the family tree. It's really... Okay, so one thing before we do the family tree. Merica, who is like the vessel of the soul, is not just Merica. She's two people. She's also Radagon. Radagon. So she's... How this... If it's like just a physical split, if it's like a mental split, and if she's going back and forth, but whatever it is, she is both people.
Damn, she's a blonde and a redhead at the same time?
And she has kids with herself.
What?
Yeah, she has kids with
wouldn't
herself.
Wouldn't you? You could?
I guess.
She has, I mean, not that having kids part, but the...
Melania, Michaela, and Melina. Are all their three kids. One of them has scarlet rot, one of them is doomed to be a kid forever, and one of them is doomed for me not to know what they are.
Okay.
Yeah. Truly the worst curse of all.
Yeah. So you can click on you can start trying to digest this family tree. It's pretty crazy. Renala, the queen of the full moon, also has babies with Radagon, who's actually just Merica's other form. Renala and Radagon have Radon, Renna, Ranny, and Rikard. So the full moon lady and the Elden Ring boy version have kids, which kind of marries like the moon people with the Erd Tree people and brings peace that way.
Okay.
But it's all to say, like, if you guys are not too worried about spoilers or just the names anyways, feel free to look up Elden Ring family tree. They put it together on Reddit, and it's kind of crazy.
Yeah.
And you want to...
It's all nonsense to me.
You want
to
know what? You notice how all of the characters start with George R. R. Martin's initials?
Yeah. I had heard that at some point, except for Nithily.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
What? George R. R. Martin? Come on.
Yeah, he's split in two, right?
Yeah, exactly.
And I'm not even sure Nifili's like fully in the godhood. That's where he gets the dotted lines or whatever. Parentage uncertain.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, they're like fallen angels, right? The Nephilim, right?
Right.
They're or half and half or something.
Or the children of fallen angels or something.
Yeah,
like that.
I can't remember. Yeah. Yeah.
So
all to say, there's like a really complicated family relationship, because your mom and dad can be the same person, and then you can be cursed, which also makes you what's it called, a euphemism or whatever we said earlier. You're born of one god if your mom and dad are the same person.
Oh, an Empyrean.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. A euphemism.
A euphemism. Yeah. So born of the same god if they split in half and get themselves pregnant. That's crazy.
Yeah. Okay, five dads, five average dads, or one godmom. You know?
Godmom dad.
Oh yeah.
I think I want five dads over one mom dad.
No, I'll take a parent that's actually God, I think, over just five regular dads.
I don't know, man. A lot of these, it doesn't work out so great for a lot of these god children.
Yeah, I was gonna say, like, out of the five dads, you get like some decent barbecues that we discussed a couple episodes ago, or you could be born with twisted horns and locked in the basement.
Yeah, but what am I gonna do? Eat barbecue carrot for the rest of my life? Come on, come on.
There's other vegan alternatives.
Five dads don't know how to make a casserole. Come on,
that's true.
So now with America and Godfrey's war efforts and their demigod children, they're able to win war against all these people and creatures who are fighting against the Erd Tree. They also find peace against, like, the moon folks, too, because Renala is, like, god of the moon.
Where the fuck does she come from? I'm sorry. I think I missed that.
We haven't really brought it up, but she's just got a moon. She, like, lives in the...
If you go back to the family tree, Peter, you'll see that, like Godfrey, she just seems to have appeared.
Yeah.
Right. Okay.
She is already there. Like, there's like moon people. My understanding is not perfect, but like astrologers, like one of the classes that are like the magic casters in this game, they would be someone who would like, yo, Renala, bless up, kind of thing.
Okay.
Because
yeah, sick.
She's like she's like moon power and all that type of thing, while Erd Tree is like faith power kind of thing.
Oh my god, when were you born?
Solar energy versus moon energy is the renewables the lands between.
Oh my god, when were you born? I knew it. You're such a grafted, okay? You're just like always taking from other people, okay?
Yeah. Just like some girl sipping a latte but has like a bunch of other arms sipping various sized lattes.
Yeah. Oh my god, I love your sleeves. They found like pretty much peace. This is like the family tree hits, Erd Tree, moon people, they're cool. All the rabble rousers, they've like been beaten up. There was even giants, and giants were like, hey, we don't like you and your Erd Trees. And Godfrey went and beat the shit out of a giant. And I think there's like a flame giant boss that I haven't met yet, and there's this eternal flame. And Godfrey's like, okay, this eternal flame, we're kind of scared of it. So you're going to keep it inside of yourself for eternity. And it's going to torture you. And they put the eternal flame inside of the giant, which I think I'm going to have to fight that guy eventually. So the giants are like suffering in a way. All the people are cool. Or you're part of the moon or tree gang. So peace. It happened. Okay. Finally.
Peace. Yeah. Yeah. Peace. At what cost? Well, the cost of just torturing a giant for all eternity.
Yeah. I mean, we repressed everybody who was against us, and like, I'll call that peace.
Yeah.
Like, no one's knocking at our door anymore. We're fine, you know.
No more Jehovah's. That's it. We found peace.
So now that we have peace, let me read something to you, a quote about what fragmented the Elden Ring and led the war to happen again, basically. So it happened an age ago, but when I recall, I see it true. On a night of wintry fog, the Rune of Death was stolen, and the demigods began to fall. Starting with Godwin the Golden, Queen Merica was driven to the brink. The shattering ensued, a war wrought only darkness. The Elden Ring was broken, but by whom and why? What could the demigods ever hope to win by warring? The Conqueror of the Stars, General Radahn, and the Blade of Mikella, Millennia the Severed. These two were the mightiest to remain, and locked horns in combat, but there would be no victor. And so we inhabit a fractured world, awaiting the arrival of the Elden Lord. Unless, of course, thou shouldst take the crown, and then it's like, that's you. And you pick up
right.
Yeah. So another thing, look at our family tree. You see there's Renna next to Ranny. They're the same person. Sure. Same person. Pretended to be Renna, actually Ranny. Don't worry about that. But on the night of the Black Knives, where Black Knife assassins stole a shard of the Rune of Death, they murdered Godwin the Golden, which is why we never meet him. And at the same time... Ranny seems to have lost her body and wanders as a corporeal spirit seeking to restore herself. So nobody really won real good in this whole thing. They broke the kingdom kind of thing. So they're not all together anymore, and the gods aren't together, but everything kind of sucks now.
Sure, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, from the little you've shown us, like, I like that the pictures you sent us, you said we were going to go from strife to peace, but the pictures, the theming of them really seem to go from peace to strife, where it's like, hey, you know, pretty lady with blonde hair, her white-haired husband, and then it's just like very badass-looking knight guy, soldier woman who's like the blonde woman from before, but now she's in armor, and then it's like, obviously, Godric crafted this horrific abomination.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So now we'll talk about all of the demigods that you get to meet in-game, but first, it's like, this is where the game kind of starts. It's right after the Shattering. It's up to you to collect the runes, become powerful enough to take down demigods, put the Elden Ring back together. So all of the Elden Rings shattered into what's called Great Runes, and the demigods each hold one of them. So they're warring at it with each other because they would rather just take the Great Runes from each other, put it back together, and become the Elden Lord themselves. But none of them have enough power to have more than one of them.
Yeah, I'm not going to give you mine. Like, you give me yours.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's kind
of 4 days on, 3 days off sort of thing. No deal like that.
It's visiting. custody rights. The Dark Souls of custody battles.
Yeah. How does custody work if your mom is your dad?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so this is where it leads up to the game. The Shattering of the Runes, the Black Assassins stealing the Rune of Death caused everything to fall apart. And I think this is what makes them mortal, too, which makes them able to be killed, is because that Rune of Death was stolen. So it sets it up.
Okay.
That's never said, but that's what Lore Boy's canon, I'm guessing.
Yeah, it makes them boss fightable, because otherwise they just would never die.
Yeah. Yeah. So you only need two runes, technically, to beat the game, so you don't have to meet all these people. But let's just quickly go over all of them. This won't ruin anything in the game, I don't think. Like, we'll describe what they look like a bit, but really, the boss fight is so much more than that. And I haven't even met all of them myself.
Right, yeah.
Yeah. So Godric, first Godwin, I'll just mention how you do meet him because it's so easy to miss him. He's already dead. Inexplicably, he now looks like a squid with a human head. And
so,
yeah.
He's the inverse Octodad?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
And he's underneath Stormveil Castle. Like, you could do a quest where they'll be like, yeah, that's Godwin the Golden right there. I killed him myself. And it's from Ranny who stole the death room. But if you miss him or you don't read all the items or talk to the right people, like, I would have never guessed. I only from researching found out that was Godwin the Golden, even though I like looked at him myself.
Yeah. And you're like, cool. That's neat.
Yeah. Godric, I guess we could do a quick what he looks like. He's pretty crazy looking. Yeah.
Yeah. Go ahead, Pete.
Kind of an older gentleman, white hair with like kind of like a Celtic looking crown made of like different plates. And then the rest of him is just two big arms with a bunch of smaller arms just kind of haphazardly just jammed into them.
All over.
Most of them look like necrotic, and some of them are just like decaying, like rotting on the branch, basically.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Plenty of them on backwards. He has a scepter and an axe, what I can see.
Yeah, he's known as Godric the Grafted, like we said, and pretty much everyone in the game hates him, and it's pretty funny how much people hate him. One NPC calls him nothing but a jumped up country bumpkin.
What?
Actually?
Yeah.
That is amazing.
Nothing but a jumped up country bumpkin, which I like even as an episode title, even though we didn't make it up. It's just a good sentence.
It's Elden Ring's quirked up white boy, right?
Or yeah. I will say, I'm just a simple country bumpkin is something I say at work a lot. because like I grew up in the country and everybody we work with grew up like in the suburbs or in the city. So it's something else a lot when I'm talking about how like, oh, I got to leave work early because my brother flipped an excavator into a ditch and I got to go help him drag it out with the tractor. And just city folks are just like floored by it.
I remember one time we went to school late and you're like, oh, sorry, a horse got loose. And to you, that was a real excuse. And to me, it was so funny. I started laughing and we got called out for our fake excuse. And you're like, dude, come on. Yeah. Right. So Godric, after the shattering, there's a capital city, which I won't say. I'll let you guys learn it on your own if you start to play the game. But all you have to know is this is where the Golden Order hung out all together. He took...
Washington, I'm going to guess the city is Washington, B.C. Washington between the cheeks.
But which was the Great Sunring or something? What did we call your between the cheeks earlier?
Land between.
Between. Yeah. Right. Yeah, land between. Yeah, so whenever the shattering happened, Godric was like such a coward. He like took a great rune, whatever treasure he could like hold in his 100 hands.
I mean, he's got so many hands for holding treasure. He seems particularly equipped for this.
Why has he got so many hands though?
I don't think he had that many hands yet. So when this,
So the adding on the hands is remorse at all the treasure lost during the Great Sunday.
He could never haul in the groceries all in one shot.
Yeah, he was like the woman in the infomercial who opens the cupboard and like all the Tupperware falls down onto.
Right. Oh,
and
yeah.
He had that moment and then like basically said to himself, never again.
Yes.
Yeah. Has this ever happened to you? Try becoming grafted. A dozen necrotic arms would help with all kinds of housework.
At this point in the story, he probably looks like a runt version of Godfrey. He's just like, he was like the small kid and he's on his way out of the castle. So he grabs a great rune. He grabs whatever he can under his other arm. And you know how he gets out of the capital during all the hubbubaloo of the great shattering? Is he sneaks out with the women so he would not be harmed.
Aww. Aww.
Then he finds a castle to hide behind so Radahn couldn't find him. We'll talk about Radahn. That's one of the son of the Moon Lady and Merica's male form.
Yep. Checking the family tree. All right. Yep. Checked out.
Yep.
Yep.
So, and then the same NPC that called him nothing but a jumped up country bumpkin, also said he insulted Melania, lost her in battle, only to lick her boots rather than die like a man. So another point of cowardice for Godric.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Damn.
I'm surprised he doesn't have just like 1,000 fedoras grabbed out of his body instead of the additional arms.
Yeah. Yeah, and then, so you meet him early in the game, like in a castle, like one of the first castles you get to. And this is a castle where he just like hid there. And all he does is fight Tarnish. He'll not fight anyone who's like, on his demigod level, because he's like
on his level.
Yeah. He's the weakest demigod. So he only fights Tarnished. And then as like a way to, it's a theory. We don't know if it's true, but we guess to show homage to his grandfather or father, Godfrey, who has a beast on his back. He's taking like all these Tarnished and putting them on his back or their arms and shit.
Okay. I can see it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so I mean, he's taking the limbs off of, like, the players before you sort of thing and putting the arms on his body?
That's he's trying to be like Granddaddy, so he is, to your point, Peter, pulling the wings off Insect, but then just gluing those wings to himself.
Yeah, exactly.
He's super pathetic. Everyone hates him. When you actually beat him in the game, there's like one guy in the castle who comes out and just stomps on his head over and over again. And that's where the NPC stays afterwards, just stomping on his dead head.
Yeah. All of Godric's lines of dialogue are about how girls don't want to date nice guys. I get it, you know.
If he kills you in his second phase, he's like, witness me, Godfrey, or something. So he really thinks that he's showing off to daddy, but really he's just coming off as real pathetic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He has minions with grafted arms all over them. The first enemy you meet in the entire game, like Peter mentioned. And then there's a couple other in like the areas leading up to them. They have more than one arm. Godfrey put it on there.
Yeah, you can make multiple Reddit posts if you graft on multiple arms, right?
Or more than two arms, I should say. Sorry.
All the good R slashes, right? I mean, I don't know anything about Reddit, but just think about the worst ones. He's on all of them.
Cringetopia has been really bad lately. I don't know if anyone's following Cringetopia. It turned from a place of cringe. Now it's just like completely transphobic. And I don't know how it happened.
I mean,
there's always a power vacuum on some on a board, and then the worst people come in and take it over.
Yeah.
The internet's a bad place. I've said it before. I'll say it again. It was a mistake. Yeah. Shouldn't have happened.
Yeah. So on from Godric, our pathetic Cringetopia user. And we go on to Renala, and she is the Queen of the Moon. Bear with me, guys. If you're hardcore lore folks, I'm really doing like broad strokes, brushing over these demigods. And I might come back into a second episode and dig into it, because she deserves a lot more story. She has a lot more story. But
I have a question about her.
Yep.
Is her head supposed to be that small compared to the rest of her? Or is it just like a weird angle in this picture?
You're right. It does look kind of small, huh?
Her hands and her head are very small compared to how long and lanky she is. And she has like the top half of a crescent moon hat that is like 5 feet long.
It's ridiculous.
She looks like unnaturally lanky. And that my question is just like, is she supposed to be like a, I mean, obviously she's a demigod. So she's like supposed to be more than just a regular old human, I guess. But
by the time you meet her here, I wasn't sure. She's been in captivity for like thousands of years, or I don't know about thousands, but like hundreds of years. She's not been able to leave this library, and she's been in complete despair. So maybe she's crying.
Looks like she's been tortured with the rack a bit, you know?
Yeah, decades of being shackled to the radiator have elongated her arm. That she's been constantly pulling at it.
Yeah.
So like she was married to Radragon, who's actually Merica. But like Merica went back to her first husband, Godfrey, to like figure out some other stuff and left Renala behind. And after the Rune of Death was stolen, Renala was like locked in a library with nothing but an amber egg with a great rune inside of it, I think. Or it was her daughter. I'm mixing this up, so I'm sorry. This is not going to be my best part.
It's so funny how it's just like everything you just said is fucking insane. And I'm just like, yeah, I mean, that sounds like Soul's lore.
That's it. It's both, as far as I'm concerned. A rune inside a hunk of amber, who's also her kid. Sure, whatever, no problem.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah,
she does look like she's at the library. Clearly, she's wearing like blue and red robes, and she does look like she clearly just broke her glasses after being told she's going to spend the next 1,000 years here. Right?
Yeah, she's a complete
amber
despair.
Egg. I can't die without my amber egg.
She found out that her husband's a wife, and that her life's been a lie, and she's got to stay in a library forever with amber. That's with something. I think it is the great rune, because I remember killing her and I got the amber and I did get a great rune, but maybe those are separate. I can't remember. But anyways,
yeah.
Find out yourself.
Coward.
Next up is General Radahn. Did I post a picture of him? No, I forgot to post a picture of him. If you guys want to look him up, Radahn. He's cool as fucking hell. He wanders this orange desert, and he just wanders forever. He's eaten from the inside by scarlet rot, which is just basically the plague. His wits are long gone. Now he gathers the corpses of former friends and foes alike, gorging on them like a dog. He's also known as Scar Scourge Radahn, and without ruining too much, it's a fucking badass fight. I beat him last night, and it felt really cool.
The fight is insane. Yeah. I know. I don't. Are you going to go into any of the magic that he uses? Because I
absolutely
do love,
not.
Like...
No, because I want people who want to play this game to be surprised by this fight, because there is it's amazing. Yeah, I don't.
So I'm not going to ruin any of his moves or anything like that. But I did hear some trivia in the fact that you'll notice that he doesn't have feet. And he's riding around on a tiny, very emaciated horse the entire time when you fight him. And it is explained, allegedly, I can't remember where I heard this, allegedly he uses his anti-gravity magic to not crush the horse to death. Because he's huge. And he's like 30 feet tall, and he's riding on a normal-sized horse.
Oh my god.
It's like super starved, and he doesn't have feet for some reason.
Oh my god. Yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah, he's got like two
Shetland pony fit for a demigod.
Yeah, exactly.
he's easily the most badass thing that I've run into so far. He's got like two giant swords, He looks almost like an orc. He's got like two big tusks, like crazy troll hair, red hair, like swirling above him. Huge sets of armor. I think he's got a bow on his back. And he's also a caster, and he's good at melee. He's good at bow, and he's good at casting. And he's just all around a pretty insane.
And good at taking care of his horse, where he has enchanted himself with anti-gravity magic. Instead of just losing the weight, he took
I mean, we'd all hit our dream weights if we were living on Mars, right?
And I'd ride around on my cat if I wouldn't crush it.
I'm not the problem. Gravity is.
Yeah.
There is a cutscene too of him just like eating his enemies. And with some really juicy noises,
hell yeah,
and not giving any to his horse.
Yeah, it's like a nice combination of Ice chewing on her bone and Jamie eating sausages. The sounds that you hear when you see Richard General down eating his enemies.
So to meet him, I guess just for any of those who are going to play, you'll get to fight him eventually. Just keep playing. For me, it was like really annoying because I'm like, I've done 2 out of 3 things to trigger this event. The third one, I'm reading online and it's not, I've already done this. But basically, since it's an open world game, there's a lot of ways that things can play out depending on who you talk to, what you've done so far. You will get a trigger to fight him. Just don't rush it. Just go do something else if you're not sure what to do. And because I got a different trigger than Jesterful, who got a different trigger than what I read online, who got a different trigger from a different place I read online. Like, there's a bunch of different ways, like, that if you have these things met, you can fight Radahn. If you can't find him yet, just go do something else.
You will bumble your way into him at some point.
Yeah. it's impossible.
Tiny horse.
Yeah. Morgott and Rykard, I really don't know much about them yet. I haven't fought them. I know Morgott, you meet early in the game under a different name, Margit, which is like the first boss that most people will fight.
Which is just like I'm not Ethan, I'm Enath.
Yeah. And he tries to stop you from going to fight the Grafted. You fight him just before the Grafted guy.
Oh, okay, cool.
Yeah. And he rules over the old capital city, which is now hidden below the earth. That's only accessible after defeating Radahn. That's where I am. I'm under the earth, trying to find my way towards Morgott. So I'll know more about it by the next time we do an episode, and a lot more by the next time we do an Elden Ring episode, if we do one.
Yeah. I will say, I do want to learn more about Rykard, Lord of Blasphemy, because it's a sick title, and he is an incredibly cool-looking enemy.
Yeah.
He is a giant like snake body with just like an old man's head and clearly like a crown made out of scales, which also looks kind of like little snake heads. And then he's got a sword with a bunch of tiny little arms sticking out of it, you know? So
And like 11 fingers on one hand, which is coming out of the belly of a snake or something.
Optional boss. I had a hard time finding like lore about him. Like, all of his, like, wiki pages are just how to beat him right now and not, like, where he's come from and stuff. But he is one of the sons, where is he on the family tree?
Of Rennala and Radagon.
Okay, so he's got moon and Erd tree energy, and he's,
I think, Radahn's brother, or sister.
Yeah, Rykard, I think he turned himself into the god-devouring serpent or something. I don't know if he was always this way, or It's hard to. Next time I'll come back with more, but it looks really cool.
I've seen this cutscene. He is very cool. I guess you fought him though, Jamie, right?
Not yet.
Oh, okay. Yeah, no. It's a very cool fight. The voice actor is very unsettling. It's a very neat cutscene when he like speaks to you, basically. Yeah.
Sweet. Okay. Well.
Also, the moon and the Erd tree breeding is clearly bad if if your face is growing out of the belly of what looks like a gigantic snake in a pit of fire.
But it's got nice chandeliers around him.
Yeah, it does.
So, like I said, I'm about 40 hours in, and I feel like I still have half a game to go through, and I still want to do it on New Game Plus with a different build because I'm having so much fun. Elden Ring, it's tight. It's tight. The lore is like, it's tough to get
developing.
It's developing. It's if it's not everything you wanted right now, join our Discord and then become a patron to really let us know that you didn't like
it. Awesome. We listen closely to the people in the Prime folks chat.
Yeah, exactly.
The other chats, you guys get this and that.
That's my best swing at 3 weeks into Elden Ring without finishing yet, but I'm loving the game more so than the lore. Like, check out the game if you like Dark Souls games, because that's very, very good. And Ethan, what do we do usually at this part of the show?
Oh, goodness gracious. Thanks for listening, everybody. If you like the show, tell your friends and or leave us a review. Really helps the show grow and reach new listeners, new people to join the conversations with us, which we love to see. If you guys want to get in touch with us, the best way to do it is click the link to the Discord that's in the description of this episode. And from there, you can find us. Otherwise, there's probably other ways to find us, like going to loreboys.com and finding our about page, and clicking some of the links there. But yeah, get in touch with us, send us an email, reach out. We'd love to hear from you guys, so please do. Peter, what's going on with Instagram?
At Loreboys Podcast on Instagram. Stuff there. That's it. as far as I know, Quebec versus COVID is still going well, all things considered. So Montreal Comic Con this summer, we should be there as well. If you want to come and say hi. There is another event that I was told about that I've completely forgotten that is also in July. So there may be two chances to come and hang out. But more information on another episode, because I didn't fucking write it down. But Comic Con's the big one if you guys want to show up. Yeah, exactly. It's just like, yeah, whatever. I wrote a book. Don't remember what it was called or where I left it. Fuck.
Yeah, so. Yeah.
Just send me a check. Yeah. But yeah, I'd like to thank everybody who is excited. I know we were joking about how Ethan and I are working on things very slowly and not done, and somehow better than George R. R. Martin. But somehow. Frankly, we have a better chance, I think, being in our 30s.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, thank you, everybody.
The next people, they're gonna contact us to write the next FromSoft game.
yeah, dude. I got my find and replace buttons fucking primed, dude. Yeah. it's gonna be great.
Instead of the pot with arms, it'll be like a cob of corn. We'll have some clam monsters. Not enough clam monsters in the Dark Souls. Yeah.
I was playing Dark Souls 1 last week, and I booked it to the Ashen Lake, and there are like big clams down there with like six legs on them. And
okay,
shit,
so. Okay, they nailed the clams then. Okay,
it's not an unclammed series, thankfully.
Okay.
But yeah,
gonna be plenty of magic rocks, just like the Grace, which I guess nobody, we didn't take drinks for that, but yeah. Grace, magic rocks for sure. So
pretty much is.
It's all my plugs. Come say hi in the summer if it's legal.
Yeah, get in the Discord. Also, if you're on Patreon, like Ethan mentioned, Patreon, you can check out the Lore Boys. We do have more audio content for it. We're gonna record more right after. Ethan's got a fun story.
I have a fun story. I've got somebody broke into my house today, guys.
What?
Yeah. Oh. Yeah, subscribe to the Patreon if you want to learn more about
holy fuck.
Breaking into my house.
I've got some more things to say about Elden Ring too. So
okay.
Yeah. Well, we'll see the red names over there, but for now, for the green names, thank you so much for joining, and I think that constitutes Lore Boys.
Lore Boys.
Goodbye.
Out?
I hear it sounds like somebody's downstairs. I'm like, okay, that's a little weird. And I'm like, I my wife took the day off work, but she also, you know, went to a doctor's appointment. That's why she took the day off work. So then I'm like, oh, maybe she's back. I'm like, oh, it's pretty early. She just left not that long ago. And I'm like, I keep hearing noise. I'm like, okay, there's definitely someone here.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.